Thank you for tuning in to the Crossover Podcast. We hope this message inspires you and grows your faith. To learn more about Crossover, visit our website at crossovernorman.com or find us on Facebook and Instagram at Crossover Norman. Enjoy the message.
The third most talked about topic is not their past. It's not about any sin, but it's a little thing called that I meet up with these guys. They're literally like, Brent, I'm just wondering like the calling of God. Like I want to know if I can hear it. I want to know if, like, I want to make sure that I'm doing it just the right way. And like, I just need to know about my calling. Now, listen, I'm not going to downplay this because I remember in college, it was like freshman, sophomore year. And I'm like, listen, Lord, like, here are three majors that I could pick from, all right? And when I hold my hand over them, like, if you could just have angels singing, right? Like, just so I know it's the right major, or I know some of you girls are like, hey, there's three guys, Lord, that, ooh, man, they love Jesus. They got the thigh tat with, like, you know, Philippians, like, scripture on there. Too soon? Too soon for some of y'all? But seriously, like, that's like varsity Christian right there. Thigh tat? But seriously, you're like, Lord, like, show me. Like, I want to hear what you have in store for me. What is the calling on my life? It is kind of also funny how we're so finicky with God's calling on majors, or God calling me to do maybe something in a situation, or God calling a girlfriend that we need to break up with. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord told me to do it, right? You pull the God card. Listen, I'm sorry. Yes, you're great. You're wonderful. But what? The Lord told me to do it. Take it up with Him, right? You're so for certain. Yeah, He told you 6 months to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. But you stayed with it. Okay? Delayed obedience is disobedience. Okay? That'll preach. All right. Let's close for today. All right? I'm just saying. All right. So in everybody in this room, everybody on this earth, we have some general calls. All right? We first need to know that there are some general calls in our life. A call to salvation. Like, there's no question, God calls all of us to salvation, to trust and to believe that His Son came and died for us dirty sinners, all right, so we could have an everlasting life and an everlasting relationship with Him. Like, that is a call to salvation. That is a general call that we all have. We also have a general call of sanctification. We are to become more like Jesus. Once we trust that salvation call, we are called to grow and be like more like Jesus, take more off our old self and become more like Him. We have a call to sanctification. But then, like we learned last week, we have a call to multiplication. We have a call to go and be the hands and feet of Jesus and throw that seed and be able to make disciples that make disciples to all nations. We are called to multiplication. Like, those are general calls. That's no question. We are called to do those things. Now, what I think most of us have a confusion on are specific calls. Like, what is our specific call? Like, am I supposed to do this job? Or, Lord, I'm walking here, and, like, I don't know if I'm supposed to go talk to this person. Or, Lord, I'm dealing with this situation I need some answers on. Like we have some confusion on, like, how do I know that God is calling me to do this? And that is something that I believe that each of us, we have to figure out between us and Jesus. Now, I pray to you that I beg that you have already trusted and accepted the three calls, because if you haven't already trusted salvation and started the work of sanctification, and like last week you started hearing the ground roots of us really growing with Jesus is multiplication, I pray that we've already accepted that and we're growing with that. But my question is, are we sure that we are now? Like, how does God speak to you? Like, how? Like, when was the last time you knew God spoke to you? How did He do it? How did you know it was Him? I would think that many of us in this room, we couldn't answer that question. Like, we don't know exactly why or how God talks to us and how we know if he's calling us to do something. Now listen, before I get started, I have learned not only in the Bible, I've learned this not only through others, but sadly I've learned this in my own experience, is that if you are not following the calls of God and the call of God, you will not have fulfillment in God. So to be able to follow God. And to be able to follow God, you have to be able to hear God and follow the call of God. So you will not have fulfillment in God unless you are following the call of God. Because when I was walking the way I wanted or doing life the way that I was doing or just going with the flow, anybody with me? If I was just going with the flow of society and I was living life just to live it, from one test to another, from one hangout to another, from one crossover or one church service to another, I wasn't necessarily following the call of God, and there was this hole inside of me that I was trying to fill with other things. And I promise you, nothing will fulfill you the way that God is supposed to fill you. No food, no job, no girlfriend, no amount of money. The only thing that will quench that thirst or quench that hunger is when God connects with you. Now, I say that to say this. We have to learn how to hear his call, trust his call, and walk in his call, and you won't need anything or anyone else to fulfill you. So how do we do this? I think that we can learn how to do this by looking at Samuel. And when we look at the life of Samuel, especially how he starts off, I think that we can take away three things that will help us learn how to discern God's call on our life. Amen? So if you would turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we're going to start reading in verse 1, and we're going to see the life of Samuel. Verse 1, now the young man, Samuel, was ministering in the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At the time, Eli, whose eyesight began to grow dim so he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, Here I am. And he ran to Eli, and he said, Here I am, for you've called me. But he said, I did not call you. Lie down again. So he went and laid down. And the Lord called again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call you, my son. Go and lie down. And Samuel did not know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called to Samuel a third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, Speak. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood calling at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from the beginning and end. And I declare to him that I'm about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons was blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or by offering forever. Samuel lay until the morning. He opened the doors of his house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, Here I am. And Eli said, What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you, and more so if you hide anything from me, all that he had told you. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Now, to set the stage for just a second, Samuel was Hannah's son who had been praying so long to be able to have a son, and she knew how much of a holy moment it was for her to actually have a son. And in response to what God had done by giving her her son, when he got just old enough, she actually blessed the church with giving them Samuel and allowing him to be trained under Eli for a moment's time. Now, Eli, in his early years, he did some great things for God, and he did some great movements. God used him in mighty ways, but something happened when he was a little older, and his two sons came into play, and they had become wicked. The two sons' names were Hophni and Phinehas. They were servants. They served at the tabernacle, but they did not know the Lord, according to 1 Samuel. They violated the law by eating the meat that was used for sacrifice to the Lord, and they would eat it for themselves. They would also have sexual relations with the women who served at their tabernacle. They had bad behavior, they were bad people, and Eli found out, and he actually rebuked his sons, but he didn't make them stop. And in turn, because of his actions, and because he was one of the leaders at the time, many of the spiritual leaders at the time actually followed Eli's leadership, and they actually started turning a blind eye to these two sons as well. And it just, sin after sin started happening. And what was happening is that these spiritual leaders would not only turn their eyes off of their son, but over time, their eyes turned away from God, and they were not spiritual leaders anymore. They did life the way that everybody else was doing it. So in verse 1, when it says that in the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no frequent visions, it's no surprise, because they had already taken their eye off God, and they are already living life the way that they shouldn't. But then God spoke to Samuel, and we see what he has to do. And when he speaks to Samuel, three different times, Samuel gets up and he runs to Eli. Now, my question to this, students, is how does this help us understand how to understand God's call on our life? I think first and foremost, looking at Samuel's life here, I think the first thing that we need to know is the source of our calling. In a world where you can get so much information on your fingertips, we are crammed full of news media. We are crammed full of sales ads and schoolwork. Anything that we want to know, we can learn at a moment's notice. We have a lot of information, but I feel like we have so little truth. And what can happen when we get everybody else's perspective on our life? We miss out on what God is trying to tell us on our life. And that's Samuel at this point, when God calls him out and he says, Samuel, he does something wrong. He runs to Eli thinking it was him, but it was not. And it just makes me wonder, like how did Samuel not know that was God who was calling him at that time? Well, it says it in verse 7. If you look, it says, now Samuel did not know yet the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. I believe that Samuel ran to Eli because he hadn't quite learned the sound or the presence of God in his life yet. He hadn't learned what it felt like to be called by God. Now, some of us, like, I bet you wonder, like, now, do we actually hear the audible voice of God? I believe some of us will. I do that. I truly believe that some of us will hear the audible voice of God, but I believe all of us are going to feel the call of God. Now, it might not be audibly, but I know that we have the ability to know when God is calling us. The reason why Samuel ran to Eli is because he didn't know what God's calling felt like in his life. He hadn't become familiar with that part of life. It kind of reminds me of a time that I was a basketball stud in high school. Any basketball studs out there? Amen. Just me. It's cool. Sophomore year, I was a whopping 5'6". Yes. Yes. I am six. I'm a little over 6'3" now. So yes, I had a little bit of a growth spurt. Whatever playing time I did have, I had to fight for it. Like I had to make sure that I was playing like on point. So I remember this play. My buddy caught the rebound. I was cherry picking, all right, because I was already little. I had to get a little advantage. I was cheating, all right. And I was running. He threw a perfect pass. I caught it full stride. I'm about to dunk it, all right, or really dramatically lay it up to make it look good. And while I was laying it up, someone actually caught up and fouled me on the way. And we were playing a team at home that their gym was just going crazy. They had some rowdy fans. Anybody have a school that had some rowdy fans, right? I mean, they were some rowdy fans. And the worst thing that you can ever do with rowdy fans is what? Shoot an air ball for a free throw. And yeah, I nicked the rim, okay? But they didn't see that. And man, they were hooping at me, hollering like air ball, air ball. And I mean, I started getting shakes. All right, I was like, what do I do? I don't want to shoot the second one. And man, they were screaming so loud I couldn't hear anything. And all of a sudden, I hear, "Hey, bud." That's what I heard. "Hey, bud." I remember, and I was like, wait, I know that. And I look over in front, in hundreds of people, I see it's my dad. And my dad did something that he had done with me since I was a little kid and teach me how to shoot. He'd always say, "Tuck your elbow and pop your wrist." And it helped me get more loft on the ball. I was like, oh, yeah, right. Of course, it was a swish. Dad always knows best, right? And it was perfect. And for the rest of the game, that helped me for the rest of the game. It gave me exactly what I needed. Students, the only reason why I was able to hear my dad in the middle of all those voices and in the middle of all that chaos and in the middle of all that screaming is because I knew my father's voice. Everybody was shouting me down, but I knew when he said, "Hey, bud," I knew it was my father's voice. I know my father's voice in the chaos. I know my father's voice when he's shouting down the street, calling me on any phone as soon as he says, "Hey, bud," I know it is my father. You know why? Because I've spent enough time with my father to know what my father's voice sounds like. Some of us right now, we don't know what God sounds like or feels like or moves like or how he works because we have not spent enough time with him. And we don't recognize his voice. Some of us, we don't know what our call is, maybe specifically today, or who to go throw the seed with, like we learned like last week. We don't know what our future holds. And it's not because God isn't telling us, it's because we don't recognize his voice. We don't understand what it's like to be called by him to go and do something that day, or take this job, or date this person, or don't date that person, or switch this major, or maybe make this whole life movement, because we don't know him well enough yet. But how do we do that? You have to spend time with him. Like there's no shortcuts to growing a relationship with Jesus. You don't just accidentally fall into straight faithfulness, walking with Jesus, having full discipline on how to be the person that Jesus wants you to be. It takes some effort. And when you make time with him and you sit down and you learn how to read his word and learn how to pray and let him speak into your soul. And when there's no noise and it's just you and him, you can learn how he talks to you and how he talks in you and how he moves and how your spirit is connected to his spirit. And I'm telling you, when his voice can connect to the deepness of your soul, it won't matter how much chaos there is in this world. And I'm telling you, it's going to get worse. The chaos in this world is only going to get worse, I promise you. But it won't matter what chaos is going on in your life, because you'll be like, no, I know that God is calling me to do something at this moment. You have to spend time with God to know His voice. Second point in your calling is you got to know the frequency of your calling. What I mean by frequency is much like that of a radio station. Like, you know, you'd be cruising down the road and you're listening to your radio, and I don't know what y'all listen to. Some Brandon Lake, we got some Christians up in here, all right? That's all I listen to is Christian because I'm super holy. All right, I listen to country as well, all right? But you're listening to the radio station, and maybe you go underneath a bridge and you lose the frequency, or you go next to the airport, you lose the frequency and it cuts in and it cuts out. The same goes to how clearly you hear the voice of God. There are some things that make you hear Him clearer, and there's some things that disrupt it. Now, what I love about reading this passage about Samuel is that I love to read that there are some other people that screw up. Amen? Like, I love to see that God still uses screw-ups in and through His word. The great Samuel, he does some great things later on in his life. He even screwed up from time to time. And here we see Samuel, probably about your age, God calls on him, and just for that moment, he does something wrong. He gets up, and he runs to Eli. So he doesn't just mess up once, he actually messes up three times. Like, aren't we glad that we serve a God that loves us even when we mess up? Like, there isn't a level of spirituality to be called by God for anything in your life. Like, Samuel was still an infant Christian trying to learn his ways, trying to learn who he is, trying to learn his identity, and God still used him. I mean, God used people who did bad things. David, for instance, he was a man after God's own heart. I mean, he was an adulterer and a murderer, and he was felt shame and rejection because of it. But God still used him, even though he still screwed up. God's call is greater than our lack of spirituality or our sins. Samuel's mess up wasn't only because he didn't recognize the voice of God, but because he left the presence of God and went somewhere else. He got distracted. Some of us, we lose our frequency with God because when He starts to speak, we get distracted. Like, for instance, maybe some of those nights when you wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and you don't know why, instead of surrounding yourself and quieting yourself and trying to see what God has to say, how many of us roll over and just start watching something on our phones, right? Some of us, when we sit down to read our Bible, we're just reading our Bible to get the check mark for the day, but we're not sitting there trying to connect with Jesus and listen to Him to be able to say something to you at that moment. Maybe some of you, you're in the coffee shop line and you're waiting for your coffee and you feel the holy hug and the Holy Spirit come over you and you know that God is there and you are there and you're not resting in a moment saying, God, I'm your servant. Let me listen to what you have to say right now. And you're not trying to tune in with God. You're trying to just get your coffee and go to your friends and trying to hang out with them. And at that moment, when you flee the presence of God's presence, you lose the chance of Him calling you to do something. See, I've heard it said this way, that the devil doesn't have to destroy our life to control it. He just has to make us busy and distracted. Now listen, so many of us are wanting to find God's call in our life, and we're worried about school and majors and fiancés and futures, right? And we think that we have to keep on going, and doing just to continue to be the person that God wants us to be, and then we will hear God. But Samuel actually about missed his call because he actually got up and he left the presence of God. See, the call of God wasn't something that he had to go find himself. The call of God was something that was given to him. So hear me on that. You don't have to go find the call of God on your life. The call of God on your life is going to happen when he gives it to you. So take the pressure off of you and just rely on God. And listen, Samuel wasn't perfect. He wasn't even mature in his faith. He didn't know the word of God like the back of his hand. It said it right here. No, the call of God fell upon him, not because of anything that he did, but because he stopped and he waited patiently to hear from the Lord. Eli says after the third time, Samuel, listen, this must be the Lord. Go back to your place. And when he comes again, say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Now, according to my Bible, the only thing that Samuel had to do was to stay in his spot where Jesus had entered his presence, and Samuel just had to listen. Now, students, when God's call, it can come at any moment in your life. And I just beg you that when it does, when you feel his presence come upon you and you know it's God, the God of the universe, he is there at that moment, in that situation, I beg that you just quiet your soul and you get that inner sanctuary in your heart and you say, God, I'm listening. Like, are you trying to show me something right now? Maybe it's in your quiet time. Maybe it's in the line at Starbucks, like I said. Maybe it's when you're having a conversation with somebody else and God's like, hey, I want you to say something right here. And you're like, Lord, what do you want me to say? And I'm telling you, it might be that exact sentence that you just need at that moment. Listen, 8 years ago, I was having coffee with a guy over here. It used to be called Crimson and Whipped Cream. And yes, it was tasty, all right. And I parked my truck and I shut the door to my truck and I felt God say, stop. I didn't, it was as strong as an audible word, but it wasn't an audible word from God at that moment about stop. And he said, stop and look. And I started looking and he showed me these groups of people and I could just feel how lost they were. And I knew there were college students at OU, and it crippled me. It crippled me so much so that I had opened the tailgate of my truck and sit there for just a moment. I could tell that guy that I was meeting up with coffee, he probably could see me at that moment. As some of the people in the coffee shop were looking at me like, why is this weirdo looking at the birds in the sky right now? All right. But I'm sitting there, actually my heart racing because I know the God of the universe is there. And I stayed in that moment. I said, God, what are you trying to show me? And no lie, God showed me the vision that we are living right now. He showed me that I want you to do something radical in your life, and I want you to start a ministry and leave everything that you know. Leave your job, leave every situation that you know, and I want you to start a ministry with nothing and nobody except for the call that I have on your life. I want you and Caroline to do something radical with your life and start this ministry. I mean, I sat there. I don't even remember. Like, finally, I got up and I went and had the coffee. I don't even remember what it was about. And no lie, 3 days later, after sleepless nights, Caroline and I decided to take that active step of starting Crossover when it made no sense. But we knew God was calling us to do it, and we're still now, 8 years in, seeing God's faithfulness in that vision. Can I get amen on that, right? Are we excited about that? I didn't leave the moment. I didn't cut God off when he started to speak. I stayed in the presence of God and I said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Students, his call in your life could happen at any moment. And when you feel that presence, don't leave. Don't turn to your phone. I want you to stay and listen and say, Lord, I want to hear what you have to say for me. It could be in any situation, conversations. It could be about your future. It could be about the now. But I'm telling you, don't leave the presence of God. Also, try to make time for God in your quiet times. Try to make time for God on your walks to your class. Try to make time for God when you're traveling in your car to Oklahoma City. Try to make time for God and listen to God. And I'm telling you, when he wakes you up in the middle of the night, those are some of the best and holiest times I've ever had is when he wakes me up at 4:00 and I'm like, all right, Lord, I'm not going to get to my phone. I want to set up for just a second And Lord, what is something that you're trying? And I'm just sitting there trying to connect my spirit to his spirit. And I'm telling you, he has shown me so many visions just in the middle of the night. So many of us don't feel like we hear God, but the truth is, it's not because God isn't speaking. It's because we haven't allowed ourselves to listen. Samuel would have never heard the calling of what he was supposed to do if he never stayed in the place and said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." We will never hear the calling of God if we never allow ourselves to give God time to speak. Lastly, the conflict of our calling. So Samuel stays and he says, "God, I'm here. Tell me what you want to say." And he says what? He goes, "I want you to go tell Eli something that's going to be hard. The sin that he has allowed his sons to do, and he turned his other cheek. Because of that, I'm going to have to do something against him and against the people of Israel that have followed him. I'm actually going to blot out his family lineage is what I'm going to do to Eli." Now, imagine that. Like, you get that calling, like, "Hey, bro, listen, like, God told me you and your sons are about to die, so good luck," right? Like, imagine that type of call, okay? Like, some of y'all are like, "Well, God called me to go tell this girl, like, she needs Jesus." Like that's one thing. But saying, like, "God's about to kill you," all right, that's a whole other story, all right? But listen, Samuel wasn't, like, he was hesitant on, "Am I supposed to do this? Like, Lord, I don't know if I can do this. Like, I don't know if I can deliver this bad news." Like, he had the conflict. Like, should I follow this calling or not? Should I follow what God has called me to do or not? And tell me this. Tell me this isn't true for some of us in here. Like, it's not that we don't know what God has called us to do. It's whether or not we are willing to do what God has called us to do. Am I right? Like, here's what I've learned a lot of times in my life. God's calls always in my life are always going to push me. They're always going to push me a little bit out of my comfort zone. They're always going to push me to do things that aren't necessarily normal for me. It's either something that I don't want to do or it's something that I don't think that I can do. And what I have learned is that he won't let me get another calling until I have answered the calling that he has already asked me to do. Some of us in here, if we can be honest, we feel like we don't have any callings from God. We feel like we haven't heard from God in a while. And my question to you is have you looked back and seen the calling that God has asked you to do, maybe over the last couple of months, that you have denied him to do because you just don't want to do it or you don't think you can do it? And the reason why you haven't gotten a fresh calling is because you haven't done your last calling. So think about that. Maybe some of us, we're hung up on the last calling and he hasn't allowed us to get a fresh calling because we just haven't done it. Listen, Samuel wasn't able to become the person of God that he needed to be until he was able to overcome that conflict and decide to follow the calling. He knew it was going to be hard. He knew it was going to not only affect another person, but it was going to affect a nation. But he knew that God called him to do it, and he did it. And guess what? He was able to move to the next calling, and the next calling, and the next calling. He was the first prophet. I mean, God used him in great and miraculous ways. Students, some of us have already been called to do something, but maybe you're too afraid to do it, or maybe you don't think you have the power or strength to do it. Listen, God has called you, and he will help you through it, amen? So listen, how do we understand the calling? How do we know if God is calling us? What are some of the calls that God has for us in our life? I don't know. But I do know this. We need to understand the source of our calling. Do I know my Father's voice and the way that He speaks in me and through me? Like, do I know how He operates? Do I know my rhythm? Like, the only way that you can find your rhythm with God and know His voice is you got to spend time with Him. There's no way that you can get around from reading the Word of God and applying it to your life and praying to God. There's no way that you can short circuit your relationship with Jesus. Do you know your Father's voice? Second, you got to see your frequency with Him. Like, do I feel the presence of Jesus come over me? Maybe it's in my quiet time. Maybe it's when I wake up in the middle of the night. Maybe it's in the middle of class. And in that moment, do I turn around and do I deflect on my phone? Or do I busy myself with homework? Do I push God away? Do I make Him a priority in my life? Or do I just keep on doing? Or do I sit there and I rest? And say, God, I know that You are here, and I know that Your presence is here. And Lord, You know what? I'm going to sit, and I'm going to stay. And I want to say, Lord, speak to me, because Your servant is listening. Lastly, do we know what His call is? And I ask you, don't even delay it. Like, when God calls you to do something, do it. And it become so so very like exciting for you. It might be hard, it might push you, but you know that the God of the universe is there for you. And you got to be able to trust that He has better plans for you than you could ever do yourself. Don't let the conflict of the call even take a precedent anymore. When God calls, you answer. Students, listen, you will never feel the fulfillment of God in your life if you never surrender to the God's call in your life.